Ezekiel 33 says the watchman who stays silent shares the guilt of a nation's sin. In Washington State, that watchman is you. If you see destructive ideologies harming our kids, our elderly, and our culture, God calls you to blow the trumpet, not hide in the pews. This isn't about outrage. It's about loving warning before it is too late. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. Hey, today is Old Testament Tuesday. It's one of my favorite days, and this is actually one of my favorite chapters in the book of Ezekiel. So more than likely, I'm going to go a little bit long, or maybe a lot long today. I hope you'll endure with me until the end. We are in chapter 33 of the book of Ezekiel. So if you're enjoying Old Testament Tuesdays, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, and place in that Washington Defender app into your huddle. Also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. It really does help us lay a steady foundation month by month to make sure that we can take the gospel message all across the state of Washington. So thank you so much for your generosity. All right, let's dive into Ezekiel chapter 33, the watchman's duty. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, speak to the sons of your people and say to them, if I bring a sword upon a land and the people of the land take one man from among them and make him their watchman. We need watchmen and watchwomen in the state of Washington. Will you become a defender watchman? Defender watchwoman, well, you will watch over our land. It is so important. And he sees the sword coming upon the land and blows on the trumpet and warns the people. So here's the watchman. He sees the sword coming. In other words, the harmful ideology, the ideas that are pulling down society and culture. And he sees it and he blows the trumpet and warns the people. Then he who hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. Now, we don't think about this, but the idea is that he's painting about the watchman is that when we have truth and we are responsible to blow the trumpet, to make a sound so that people understand the sword or judgment will come upon us if we violate that truth. Now, what is the truth? The truth is the word of God. It is not my truth, your truth. It is the word of God. And when we know that there's ideology out there that is harmful to children, that is harmful to elderly, that is harmful to society and culture as a whole, it is our responsibility as born again believers in Jesus Christ to blow the trumpet and to warn the people. And it says, if we give them a warning, then, and they disregard that warning, then their blood is on their own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood will be on himself. But had he taken warning, he would have been delivered his life. So we see that this idea of who is responsible. If you are a Christian and you know the word of God and you're sitting in church and you're absorbing the truth of God's word, but then when you walk in on Monday morning into work or other places and you see that people are living contrary to the word of God, and I'm not saying that you hold up a sign and you pick at them. I am saying that you, through love and truth, that you speak to them and you share with them the judgment that will come. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and a sword comes and takes a person from them, this is important. So here's the watchman. He sees the danger coming, and he doesn't blow the trumpet. He is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from the watchman's hand. Look at that. We have been taught as Christians in our culture and our society to be silent. We think the most holiness, godly thing to do is just don't tell them. Don't tell them that that path that they're on leads to hell. Don't tell them that that direction that they're going leads to God's judgment on Judgment Day. But God says here in Ezekiel 33, and I know there's grace and I know there's mercy, but I want you to hear this, at least from This is why we go through the Old Testament. We find these areas and we say, wow, God is giving us a warning. When we have truth and we don't blow the trumpet and people end up heading down that path of destruction, their blood is on our hands. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, it's true. Now, as for you, son of man, I have appointed you as a watchman for the house of Israel. So you will hear a message from my mouth and give them warning before me. He says, hey, give them warning. When I say to the wicked, oh, wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from your hands. He goes, I want to be clear. I'm not just talking about blowing the trumpet when an enemy comes. I'm talking about when you hear the word of God and I have spoke it to you clearly and understandable, then you are to speak that to the wicked man. And if he does not listen, then the iniquity is on his own head. But if he does listen, then you have turned him around. You're going to see that in a moment. This says, if we don't speak, that wicked man's blood is on our head. But if you, on your part, warn a wicked man to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he will die in his iniquities, but you have delivered your life. Now, some may say, well, Pastor Brian, that is the Old Testament. That's not the New Testament. I mean, we don't live under that, really. Are you sure? I don't know that there's this great divided wall between the Old Testament and New Testament. You say, how do you know? How is Abraham saved? By faith. How are we saved? By faith. Faith in what? The gospel message. We know that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again that we may have eternal life. But God somehow, we see here in this scripture, warns us that when we know what wickedness is and what evil is, yet we remain silent and do not warn the man who's headed in that wicked direction, their blood is on our hands. He also says that if we give him a warning, in other words, we're not responsible for the outcomes, but we give him a warning, then we have delivered our own life. Now, as for you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you have spoken, saying, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we are rotting away in them. How then can we survive? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his ways and live. This is important. We are seeing so much polarization on the right and the left. And we need to know the heart of God. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He takes pleasure in the fact that they turn, they repent, and they turn from their wickedness. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die, O house of Israel? Look at that. Incredibly important. We must have a heart that is after God's and say, God, you are the only one. You are the only one that can turn us around. This is God's heart towards the wicked. And you, son of man, say to your fellow citizens, the righteousness of a righteous man will not deliver him in the day of transgression. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, he will not stumble because of it in the day when he turns from his wickedness, whereas a righteous man will not be able to live by his righteousness on the day when he commits sin. Now, that part's a little bit like, what does he just say? Let's break it down. And you, son of man, say to your fellow citizens, the righteousness of a righteous man. Okay, so he's talking about a righteous man and his righteousness. The righteousness of a righteous man will deliver him in the day of his transgression. So how are we righteous? Is it self-righteous? No. We have imputed righteousness by the blood of Jesus Christ. And as for the wickedness of the wicked man, he will not stumble because of it in the day when he turns from his wickedness, whereas, so here we have the wicked man, he turns from his wickedness, and he's not gonna fall. He's not gonna stumble, he says. Whereas a righteous man will not be able to live by his righteousness on the day when he commits sin. In other words, willful disobedience to God is not a favorable response in the sight of God. He says, listen, if you're righteous and you know it, then live by that righteousness. But if you're righteousness and you walk towards sin, man, I have a problem with that. Personal responsibility, present obedience is important to God. He also says, if you're wicked and you've turned and you've repented of your sin towards righteousness, I'll forgive it. When I say to the righteous, he will surely live, and he trusts in his righteousness that he commits iniquity, none of his righteous deeds will be remembered. But in the same iniquity of his which he has committed, he will die. He says, when you walk in willful disobedience, I've got a problem with that. But when I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and he turns from his sin and practices justice and righteousness, if a wicked man restores a pledge, pays back what he has taken by robbery, walks by the statutes which ensures life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Remember, this started out with God loves the wicked person. He wants them to turn and repent. Now, he doesn't coddle them. He doesn't love them, you know, in a way that we describe love, in that we just simply overlook sin. He's saying repentance is the key to turning. He says when there is restitution that is made by this wicked man, he will live. He will not die. None of his sin that he has committed will be remembered against him. He has practiced justice and righteousness. He shall surely live. So God desires your repentance. God wants us to walk in righteousness. And if you're claiming to be a Christ follower, yet you are walking in the disobedience of God, I want to give you a big warning. I want to be the watchman on the wall and say, listen, God does not take lightly sin. He looks at it and he says, your self-righteousness, your willful disobedience, all that is as filthy rags to me. Repent, for today is the day of salvation. Yes, he is gracious. He is giving you time to repent. So repent today. If you are a wicked person, today is the day for three things, he says: justice, righteousness, and restitution. That can only be accomplished by faith through grace through the blood of Jesus Christ. By turning and saying, God, I want to make it right, and the power of the Holy Spirit to propel you through the word of God to live a righteous lifestyle. Look at this. Yet your fellow citizens say, the way of the Lord is not right, when it is their own way that it is not right. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, then he shall die in it. But when the wicked turns from his wickedness and practices justice and righteousness, he will live by them. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not right. O house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to his ways. So that is as far as we are going to get today, because we've gone over already. But I want to remind you, if you are a watchman, which means if you are born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are a watchman. In your school boards, in your city councils, at your sheriff's office, at your county commissioner's meetings, at the state legislature, everything, everywhere you go, God has placed you to give a warning. And he's saying, hey, you don't have to be rude about it. You don't have to be obnoxious, but it can be grace with abundant truth. Okay? That's what Jesus encapsulated when he came to this earth. And so we need to have that same idea. The second thing that we talked about is that God doesn't desire that the wicked should perish. It's not his desire. He wishes all to come to repentance, that none should perish. So we shouldn't celebrate the loss of life, the corruption that's in this world. We shouldn't celebrate when the opposing party somehow gets what they deserve, you might say. We should call out to God on their behalf, hoping and praying and having faith for them to turn from their wickedness to the living God. And then he goes on to say, don't be so arrogant to think because you call yourself righteous or a Christ follower or whatever, and you think you can just go practice sin, that licentiousness is as filthy rags to God. He's not going to forgive it. You say, well, I'll repent a million times. I hear you. I just want to encourage you that if you are walking in willful disobedience to God and you're in essence giving God the bird, he does not take that lightly. He really doesn't. You need to repent and turn to God, and his grace is sufficient and his mercy, but he expects you to obey him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, God. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Go before us today. God, help us to be watchmen on the wall and watchwomen on the wall. Help us to warn those around us who are heading down a street or a road of destruction. God, let us turn the wicked back from their wickedness, God. Let us have hearts to give them warning, God. And we know that you said, if we do that and we're faithful, and how we do that is incredibly important as well, that their blood is no longer on our hands. We are just to be faithful messengers where you have strategically placed us, God. So go before us today, surround us today, God. You are so, so very good. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.